Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryan Karavavahai, Tejasvinavaditamastomavidivishavahai, Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 73. The demigods continued, O Supreme Lord, you are not an ordinary living entity appearing in this material world as a result of fruitive activities. Therefore, your appearance or birth in this world has no other cause than your pleasure potency. Similarly, the living entities who are part of you have no cause for miseries like birth, death, and old age, except when these living entities are conducted by your external energy. Footnote 30. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 39 to Bhagavat Arkarmichimala, chapter 4, entitled The Factual Truth of Krishna, Bhagavat Sarupa Tattvam, which is in the Sambandha section of the Thakur's book. Right, so due to his pleasure potency, means him interacting with his internal potency, that's the reason then he has these pastimes of his appearance like that. Because then it establishes relationship, right? So if he appears as the son of Devaki and Vasudev, that establishes relationship. Or Nanda and Yashoda establishes a relationship. So for Krishna, it's about the interaction. It's not actually the position like that. But to get an experience, you have to have a result. To have a result, you have to have endeavor. To have endeavor, you have to have position and relationship. Right? Does that make sense? So, therefore, then, these things are done just for his own pleasure. Okay. So that's his position. He's independent. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, the devas say, we have said that you have appeared for protecting us, but that is only a pretense. You perform your birth and activities independently with your own purpose. Right? Because they're having a difficulty, they turn to the Lord, he appears, they're saying, you're appearing to protect us. But in actuality, he has his own purpose. Because he could protect them without appearing. Because he's already there anyway, in his form of Brahman and Paramatma. So to come as Bhagavan, he doesn't have to come as Bhagavan to take care of the needs of the demigods. So that's the whole point. His through the modes of nature, he could adjust everything. But he has his own purpose, means he will do this. Having come, he will take care of these things. Why? Because they can create a favorable environment. Right? But what he's going to do is interact with the devotees, attract the minds of the devotees. That's the whole why he actually comes.
Mm-hmm. Does it mean about the same thing that the Bhagavad Gita says? So, Jnana Karma Jnana Karma Jnana Karma Jnana Karma Jnana Karma.
If the words actually mean, see, there's just like in japa, you have the mental, you have what they would call japa, and what they call kirtan. Mm-hmm. Japa means it's within the mouth, only you hear it. So you have to get used to the concept that questions should be act on the level of kirtan.
Janma karma cha me divyam evam yogi tatvagandhapadika says that. So this is what Chakravarti Thakur mentions. This is what he's supposed to understand.
Yes. The whole point is it's about his interaction with the devotees. He's taking also is that to protect the devotees and to annihilate the demons. So it's about interacting with the devotees. You know. So in other words, the Vina Shayata Dushkritam, that he could do. He doesn't have to come to do that. But Paritranaya Sadhunam, that it's not just the saving of them, it's the interacting with them on the relationship. That's the whole point. So Srila Prabhupada adds, we can understand that when the Supreme Lord appears or disappears as an incarnation, there is no other cause than His pleasure potency. We cannot force the Supreme Personality of Godhead to appear. When there is a, because Advaitacharya, he's worshiping, praying that the Lord will appear. So if he can't make him appear, and he's God, then who else is going to make him appear on his team? Okay. Does that make sense? So he's independent. When there's a need to diminish a burden created by the demons, the Supreme Godhead can do it in many ways because he has multifarious energies. There's no need for him to come as an incarnation, right? You want to get rid of these big demons? You know, that's what peanuts are for, right? It doesn't take, he has to come in this whole big battle. A peanut will take care of it, right? There's no need for him to come as an incarnation, since he is not forced to do anything like ordinary living entities. When the living entities come to this world for material enjoyment, they are entangled in karma and karma fall by the Lord's illusory energy. But if one seeks shelter at the Lord's lotus feet, one is again situated in his original liberated state. As stated here, why is one in the state? Because one's consciousness, one is not getting a reactions of karma for the work. Right? But we see that from the work, the transformations are taking place. Right? So this becomes what confusion comes up, because you're getting the transcendental effect, and because of that, there is no reaction on the way of karma, but at the same time, the transformations of the material energy due to the particular activity performed take place. And that experience is there. But that is called okarma. Right? Because one is not performing activities on the material platform. Does that make sense? The Mayavadis try akarma, that I won't do any duties, so I'll get no karma. And the gross materialists, then they also think, if I don't perform any duties, I don't get the reactions to that, like being pious. So they perform vikarma, so that on the platform of impiety, then they can get the maximum amount of enjoyment that they think they're due. Right? So that amount is zero, but hey, you know, at least they're trying, right? Okay. But if one seeks shelter at the Lord's lotus feet, one is again situated in his original liberated state. So the devotee is liberated. He may not appreciate that liberation, but he is liberated. So therefore, when we discuss liberation, we're discussing either in principle that the devotee is liberated because he's engaged in devotional service, or we're discussing the point of when one comes to the point where one's conscious of that liberated state, then one can take advantage of more dynamically of the devotional process, because then now there are no anartas getting in the way. Does that make sense? So in other words, you have the reactions of sin, the concept towards sin, impiety, that aspect there is your first stage of anartas. But now we're talking about when you come to the Brahman platform for the devotees, Brahma Bhuta, that means without the desire, I'm your controller and enjoyer. That brings it to the next level. Does that make sense? So that then, you can say, is the real form of anartha. Yeah. As stated here, krita yatas tvai yabhas rayat mani. One who seeks shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord is always fearless. Because we are dependent upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we should give up the idea that without Krishna we can enjoy freedom in this material world. Right? We talk about freedom. We say, oh, we don't have to follow all these rules, that way we'll be free. Why so many restrictions? What's our point? We want freedom. Right? So that's the problem. We want to be liberated from the Vedic culture and the Vedic scriptures. You know. So yeah, that's not glorious. This idea is the reason we have become entangled. Now it is our duty to seek shelter again at the Lord's lotus feet. This shelter is described as abhaya, or fearless, because now you know your relationship. Right? But what's to lose? Nothing's to lose. The relationship can't be lost because it's the eternal principle. Now, if I am the supreme controller and enjoyer, that position can be lost. Therefore, fear. So if I'm attached to I'm the controller and enjoyer, I will be fearful about losing that position. But when I surrender to the Lord, then I'm fearless because I've given up the principle of trying to be the controller and enjoyer. So now there's nothing to lose. Right? So in other words, this is the, how you say, the transcendental position of if you ain't got nothing, you ain't got nothing to lose. Right? Because if you don't have the control and enjoyment as a principle, that I'm separate from, then there's nothing to lose. Right? Therefore, one's fearless.
Would it be right in saying this is how we habituate? You see cause and you see effect.
Cause and effect, yes, yes.
Therefore, how do you change that habituation? Just
effect, right? It's all right to see cause and effect, but you have to take the cause and effect up to Krishna. In other words, something transforms, right? I become involved in an endeavor that causes transformation, and that particular transformation that we will call the effect, right? So now the cause is I want my, you know, I want to be happy, I make the endeavor, and then the effect is I have something that I will say will make me happy. So we're used to that. What we're not used to is that, one, going to the metaphysical, is that the cause of what we're doing, you know, and effect is actually on a subtler platform. There's laws of nature. Only if you follow the laws of nature is there transformation in a particular way. And then having done that, then we have that effect. But that's not us. We can only take part as an instrument. We're not actually the cause and effect. We think we're the cause and effect. Now that's the metaphysical. Then you have above that, right? That above that is then there's the original. Krishna is the cause because it's his desire that the material world is created for the living entities to take part in there, in developing devotional service, right? And so therefore, that effect then is on the platform of bhakti. So that cause and effect on that level, between Krishna's and eternal potency, is the real position. Does that make sense? Then you have the metaphysical. Then you have the gross that you see. So if we just expand the concept of cause and effect back to Krishna, then there's not a problem. Does that make sense? Then we'll start to be able to see from there all levels and be able to see Krishna in everything. Right? So that means at all times we can be Krishna conscious. Does that make sense? This idea is the reason we have become entangled, right? To enjoy freedom. Now it is our duty to seek shelter again at the Lord's lotus feet. So that's why even liberation is still about enjoyment. We still remain entangled. So only when it's about giving up the material world by engaging in the Lord's service, then that position of liberation, that's not entangled. And now it is our duty to seek shelter again at the Lord's lotus feet. This shelter is described as abhaya or fearless. Since Krishna is not subject to birth, death, old age, or disease, and since we are part and parcel of Krishna, we are not subject to birth, death, old age, and disease. But we have become subject to these illusory problems because of our forgetfulness of Krishna and our position as his eternal servants. Jivir Surup Hoy Krishna Nitya Das. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 20.108. Right, so here the sarupa, the jiva, means as servant of Krishna. So when do we take up this point, jiva sarupa point? When we have that faith that, okay, this is my position, and accept that position, then that we say we can take a step further when we take up the dynamic association of the devotees. Right, because now they're engaged in service, we become engaged in service. Now we can say that becomes further when we take up the position of how you say, bhajana kriya, where we actually, what's recommended under the direction of the spiritual master, then follow. This removes the anartas. With removing the anartas, those are the distractions that keep us from serving. So at nishta, then we can say, now this is more the form of the sarup of the jiva, right? Because now you're steady in service. right? The chanting becomes continue. All these different things happen. From that, then, naturally, because in service, in serving, then there's going to be that taste of serving. So that's the impetus to serve, rather than it's just, these are the proper things to do. I want to get out of material consciousness and these things. But it's actually like serving Krishna, that pleasure of Krishna. So then that goes on to attachment. So that brings us to the point of bhava. So then in this state, then now on the Brahma Bhuta, there's, one is liberated. So now one can say, now you can say, this is the state of being able to serve Krishna. Right? And so then that will continue further. Then as we become absorbed in Krishna and we're fully, absorbed in Krishna, name, form, qualities, and pastimes at all times, all places, all circumstance, then that brings us to the point of understanding our position in relationship with Krishna. We can take part in his pastimes. We could call this, now this is the Suru. Right? But the position is when that comes to the point where we come to the platform of prema, then you could say, now this is the natural Suru. So we see is that this point of Jiva Srupoi Krishna Nitya Das, that runs from the beginning before we even have prema. So it's by understanding this, Shraddha, yes. Okay. That, before that, just associated with devotees, hearing that, that's what brings us to the point and puts us on this path where we can say, now we've taken up that path. So in other words, this the Srupa, the Jiva, is in sadhana, is in bhav sadhana until it comes to prava. That's the natural form. So this point of sarup can come in at so many points. Does that make sense? But what you're doing then is what's recommended in the scriptures. That's what's recommended by the acharyas. That's what we're going to be doing. Right? So it's not that because of this aspect of sarup it changes what I do. No. Right? Does that make sense? Therefore, if we practice devotional service by always thinking of Krishna, always glorifying Him, and always chanting about Him, as described in text 37, Srinvan Grinan Sam Smarayams Cha Chintayam, will be reinstated in our original constitutional position and thus be saved. Right? So now this is something, we've heard that a million times, but now in context of what we've discussed in the last couple of days, what did Prabhupada just say here? We understand? Yeah. So he's talking about being absorbed in Krishna 24/7, coming to that continuous platform, then we can be reinstated in our original position, our original sarup. Right? So that's the whole point. It's that it's the same thing. It's just that what stage you're at, that's what you do. Right? Just like a disease, depending on what stage it's at, that's what you deal with. Right? The person has a fever. Okay? They feel hot. You take off the blankets. They feel cold. You put them on. They feel hot. You take them. You understand? When that goes down, then you just adjust for what's the air. Then after that, then you adjust the diet. Then you adjust until they come to the normal position. So, but the principle is the same. Being in a healthy position. You deal in such a way that you are in a healthy position. So then, depending on what that is, that's what you do. But otherwise, the process that's given is always the same. And as we said, Prabhupada's so expert, he can present these, what we discussed in the last few days, the very technical points in very simple language. You know, to the point, well, we'll just say, I've heard that, been there, done that. Okay, now where's the new thing? Where's the advanced stuff? This right here. He just talked about coming to the point of attachment in samadhi. That one brings you to your surup. Because even though you may know your surup or be in your surup before that, you can't actually serve Krishna till you come to the point of always remembering Krishna in complete attachment. Right? That will bring you to the Sarup. Then you can use the Sarup. You know? Just like, let's say, the father, there's so many cars in the family, right? And then one of the cars belongs to the kid, right? But he's only 12. So it's his car, but is it his car? No, because who drives it? Everybody else. He never drives it. But when he turns of age, you know, gets qualified, he has, then it's his car. Car's there. Our form is always there. The problem is we can't use it because we can't think of Krishna 24/7. When that comes in that favorable attitude with attachment to Krishna, then one can use the form. Then we say that's Suru. Does that make sense? The Sahajya thing that unqualified people will talk about this Suru, this, that, and all that kind of stuff like that, you know, done, you know. And then there's always going to be, what do you call it? New accessories like that, you know. They have their surup and talking with another sahaji about their surup, and now they, you know, they just added on a few bangles or, you know, something else, you know, something to improve, you know. My surup's better than your surup, you know, like that. Yeah, so.
The last class that we discussed on Shravana
Varana Vashana
Smarana
Vashana 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 Shravana Dasa through to Sampati Dasa. That's been described in this one. You know? And that's the therefore, so that means that's the conclusion. That means that's what was being talked about the whole time. So what are we trying to do? Become fearless by establishing ourselves on the platform, transcendental platform, as servant of Krishna. So how to do that? Then we have all the things of cultivating, you know, practices and, you know, cultivating knowledge, giving up attachments, all these different things like that. But what's it for? So that we come to the point of continuous chanting, which will bring us to the point of continuous remembrance. That will bring us to the point of, again, that continuous service. That will bring us to prema. Is that right, sir? The demigods continue, you know, so this is what we mean when Prabhupada said everything's in his books. It means literally. It's there. There's nothing that's left out. Oh, but Prabhupada doesn't discuss that. No. It's just you go to other works so that technically you catch it. Then when you read Prabhupada's books, then you understand what it is. That's why this course is being run like that, parallel. You study the technical, then you can see what Prabhupada said is that, just in simpler language.
When we say that we have prema, means we are using, already engaged in the...
Having prema, it's not a matter of having prema, because prema is, it means you can say you have prema. What's the point of having prema? What's the benefit? And okay, you're engaged in activities, and then what will be the point?
Please
Krishna, and how does that please Krishna? By love. And what is, and love is what?
Prema.
Prema, and that is something that is done. We're going to do some prema. Yes, but what's the point? What are you trying to get to? We discussed it this morning. Shravanam, manana. Huh? Realize. Realize means you taste. That's why it's a value. If you taste, it's a value. I give you something nice to eat and it tastes good, you value it. I give you something nice to eat and it's not nice, you don't value it. You understand? So the point is you come to the point of realization. So it's the experience of prema that's what's important. That's what Krishna is tasting. And the devotees taste that with him. So we can study academically the position of prema so that we know that that's what we should be aspiring for. But it's only by Krishna's grace and the devotees' grace you come to that platform. You know what I'm saying? So that's why academically we can discuss these things, but that's not on this other thing. That this thing that we're going to be sitting around and tasting all this, that's the sahajya part. Right? You can academically discuss it, but that's not what they do. They only discuss the past, go through the pastime and secondary aspects of the pastime, because they're on the secondary platform. But the point is it's the rasa, it's the intimacy, it's the affection that's there between Krishna and the Vrajvasis. Does that make sense? So that's rasa, that's tasted, so that one can appreciate any position. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Therefore, how you say? Yeah. Okay.
So the individual body and the center, everybody takes the rasa that was working their own level of the answer.
Yes, yes. Because rasa is one thing. But it's a matter of what are the aspects. In other words, it means you have the position, right? But that position is, you have a particular affection. But that's going to be inspired or tasted through the Vibhava, right? Stai Bhava is tasted because of Vibhava. Vibhava has these five main positions, right? And that's on the transcendental platform. Then you have the, so that's, you get five rasas. But the point is it's Krishna and the devotee, right? So what aspect of Krishna is what aspect of devotee? So child Krishna, mother Jashoda. So that's the vibhava of the parental rasa. In a sense, so that's there. Now, as we mentioned, then within the, out of the 33 categories, then you have seven of them are in the sanchari bhavas. That gets the secondary rasas. Those are supportive of. So in the spiritual world, then, as we said, those are indirect, but they support the direct, which are the five. So the direct, that's going to be your pious activities. The indirect, that's going to be your impious activities in the material world, in the reflection. That's why in the material world, basically, how many people taste direct rasa? It's always the secondary, like that, because they don't even understand primary, right? To even understand the principle of it, so work according to the laws, get metaphysical like that. So the point is everyone, according to their position, is gaining a taste there. So even as we mentioned, the sahajiyas, then they're getting a taste from hearing about Krishna's pastimes. They're remembering, they're chanting, remembering and all that. But it's material, because what they're attracted to is the mundane interaction between male and female. And because here is something you can discuss it openly and it's not considered bad, then therefore, then this is the best way to go. Because if you discuss other things, then people don't want to talk about it. It's considered bad. You know, it's kind of like get a room kind of stuff. But, you know, with Krishna, then it's fine. Does that make sense? You know, because there's nothing mundane about it. Therefore, it's able to be approached. But their approach is material. So then they taste that. That's why then they think by material interaction on that platform, that then they'll appreciate the transcendental. But it has nothing to do with it. Because the mechanics may be similar, but the point is the taste is totally different, because one's based on actual affection, the other's based on lust. So one's prema, one's lust. So they're opposite. One's on the primary, the other's on the secondary. There is this. Right? The gopis, their physical form is to express their affection for Krishna. So their physical beauty is just showing their affection for Krishna, their attraction, their attachment to Krishna. So just by their, you know, as Rupa Goswami says, just by their physical beauty, they're serving Krishna. Because they're expressing their affection for Krishna through their physical beauty. And so then that is service. Then on top of that, you add activity. So the primary aspect is there, is that affection. The secondary will be the physical form and then the activities they do with that form. Does that make sense? So it's an expression of. But in the material world, we look at it, if the secondary there, then it's good. Right? If the particular, what I expect in a relationship, if that's there, the secondary forms of it, then I'll say it's a good relationship. Not necessarily about the other's experience and that combined kind of thing. No, it doesn't. That's not necessary. That's not the focus. So that's the difference. So when it becomes about themselves, then it's not actually transcendental. So, like you said, everybody in that assembly will taste according to their position. But being in an elevated assembly, from what appears is there, then they're all at least from the level of how you say. the Brahman platform are appreciating the position. So then, you know, from that platform of shanta or neutrality, and then on up. Does that make sense? And then we, taking advantage of that, then we can then try to also appreciate what's there through the instructions of the acharyas, so that we know that, okay, something's good's happening here. Right? And then by engaging in service to Krishna in that position, it brings us closer to Krishna, means we're more purified, means we can think of Krishna more and all that. So, therefore, the activities that are going to make us remember Krishna the most, those are the ones we're going to be involved in. That's why it says one can give up the whole world to save your soul. Right? So all these things that I have to do, all these duties, and that we're talking about a pious person who does duties. Right? You know, the same person applies to the impious because they have their own mentally speculated concepts of what are duties. But if you actually inquire, it evaporates like mist. You know, what's the real duty? It'll just disappear. So, the Vedic has solid that these are the duties, and then if it is duties, then you can say, I'm doing these without attachment. With knowledge, I have the knowledge that these are my duties, these are how to perform the duties, and because I'm doing it, because I'm supposed to do the duties, that's the detachment. Well, if we work on the non-Vedic, then the only reason I'm doing it is because I want to do it. It's my attachment. So that, and it's not based on knowledge, it's just based on the mind. So where is the knowledge and detachment that can purify you and elevate you? So it doesn't exist. Yes?
Still, you're talking about Tiva and then starting to Rasa, not above them, not even by Kunda. The duties are the same.
Yes, but what we're saying is where did the concept of duties come from? Mother Jashoda, in other words, if we're talking about Vibhava, about, you know, Rasa itself, it's a science. So that means, okay, Mother Jashoda, in that Staibhav, then the Vibhav, what aspects of Krishna are going to inspire her love for him? And what activities is she going to engage in? So we see as Rupa Goswami in the later chapters of Nectar Devotion, or later sections, excuse me, then he shows this rasa has these kind of vibhavas, has these experiences, these anubhavas, these sanchari bhavas, these other things like that. And it's very set. So Cowherd Boys, it's one particular group, you know, the parental rasa, another group, the servants, another group, the gopis, a different group. So it's not that there's not overlapping, they're using the same ingredients, but the particular combination. Does that make sense? So that's going to give okay, let us say there is, we're making a marinara sauce. Okay? There's tomato, there's basil, there's some mozzarella. Okay.
Huh? Marinara is the seafood one. You mean Napolitano.
The?
Napolitano.
Okay, Neapolitano. So, then you're going to have these three ingredients. Now, if I put more mozzarella to the tomatoes, then I'll call that a caprese salad. But it's the same ingredients. You know what I'm saying? When there's more tomato, then it has a different, you know, or if it's in pieces, or if it's mushed up, or if it's cooked, or does that make sense? So it's the same ingredients, but it's put together, you get different pieces, different positions. Does that make sense? So that's then what rasa is. So the five aspects of rasa. Right, the Staibhav, Vibhav, Anubhav, Sattvikabhav, and Sancharibhav. Those then all those things there. Those are the ingredients of rasa. Now, depending upon what is the stai, that will then set which ones how it's used, and what's the experience. Does that make sense? So it's one science, it's one set of rasa. So when that reflects into the material world, it's still the same mechanics. So we're just looking at the mechanical on the sensual level, then that will be the partiva rasa. If we're looking at the mechanics on the emotional level, or you know, like that kind of aspect, then that will be the swargiya rasa. But if we're looking at it on based on love for Krishna, that's the Vaikuntha rasa. So everybody will be tasting rasa. It's just a matter of where. And then the point is you follow the science, it works better. You don't follow the science, it doesn't work. Because the point is the Vedic science is there. It's defined in the Vedic science. The modern does not have any definition for a word here and there, a little thing, something like that, is a few points. But in general, there's no science described. You know, they figured out by using the senses that just what's the effect. You know, they know that okay, if they want this effect in the audience, they use this kind of music, you know, or this speed or this kind of thing. And if they want that effect, they change that or different makeup or different things. What they say, how they interact, all these different things. But that's just by chance they've worked that out. There is no science as such. All they can do is document the art because they have no idea why it's doing that.
So can you say that if you follow the science, you will experience rasa?
If you follow follow the science for the purpose of pleasing Krishna, then we'll taste. Because the point is Krishna is the science. And that interaction between Krishna and Radharani, but the point is unless it's in pursuit of service to Radharani, you know, as devotional service, as she is Bhakti Devi, then you won't taste. So that's why, even though we say, explain the science, it's still, that's not enough. We'll say, that can only be what you've heard and what you contemplate and understand and practice. But taste is a step further. Does that make sense? So, but that is the only recommended process. You follow that, and then by the grace of Guru and Krishna, or the Vaishnavas and Krishna, then you one will come to that platform. That's why it says there's the sadhana, you know, I mean, who said, what do you call it? Sadhana siddha, right? Kripa siddha, like that. There's a third one.
Archankritasiddha.
Nitya said like this, all these different things. It's that how they got to that position. Like that. So through that they get the mercy of the Lord, get the mercy of the devotees, and then they come to that platform. So on one sense you can say, yes, doing that you'll come to that. But just to make sure, then it's the attitude of pleasing Krishna, free from karma and jnana, you know, favorable for Krishna. That's what makes that work. So that's why we say, if we just follow what the acharyas say, it's automatic. Because that means then we do what they say. You know, which includes the mood, like here. Always remembering, hearing, and chanting about Krishna. That work? Oh, okay, up there. Okay. The demigods continued, O Supreme Controller, your lordship previously accepted incarnations as a fish, a horse, a tortoise, Nrsingadev, a boar, a swan, Lord Ramachandra, Parasram, and among the demigods, Vamanadeva, to protect the entire world by your mercy. Now please protect us again by your mercy by diminishing the disturbances in this world. O Krishna, best of the Yadus, we respectfully offer our obeisances unto you. Srila Prabhupada comments. In every incarnation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has a particular mission to execute. And this was true in his appearance as the son of Devaki in the family of the Yadus. Thus all the demigods offered their prayers to the Lord, bowing down before him, and requesting the Lord to do the needful. We cannot order the Supreme Personality of Godhead to do anything for us. We can simply offer him our obeisances, as advised in Bhagavad Gita. Manmanabhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Bhagavad Gita, 1865. And pray for him for annihilation of dangers. That means he's going to do what he wants, how he wants, when he wants. Right? That's the position. But we surrender to him that there's no other shelter. And so then, naturally, he reciprocates. But, you know, yes. So then this is what the demigods are doing. They're praying for the Lord's mercy.
So, what does it mean by no other danger? Like, what kind of danger? Because the only danger is that we forget Krishna.
Yes, that's the main danger. But depending upon what you consider danger, then that will be thrown into the mix.
So they're thinking of a different danger, yeah?
Who knows what they're... means they are talking to the Lord, so there's a good chance there's some Krishna consciousness there. Okay. But if the other things come along with it, they're not complaining. Right? So, mm-hmm. Yeah. The demigods concluded, O Mother Devaki, by your good fortune and ours, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, with all his plenary portions such as Baladev, is now within your womb. Therefore, you need not fear Kamsa, who has decided to be killed by the Lord. Kamsa has decided to be killed by the Lord. Yes. Yeah. Your eternal son, Krishna, will be the protector of the entire Yadu dynasty. So not even just them, but the whole dynasty will be protected. And also by saying that Baladev is there, because that then mentioned before, then Baladev also becomes the son of Devaki. Right? Because he was there before he's transferred, so, but you can say is, but then he was transferred, so he's the son of Rohini, but at the same time, where there's Krishna, then he includes all incarnations, so Baladev is there. Right? We're not bringing out that, yes, she's also the mother of the swan incarnation. No, that's not, you know, for this past time, that's not being brought out. Yeah? Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, after thus offering prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the Transcendence, all the demigods with Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva before them, return to their homes in the heavenly planets, right? So now, why mention with Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva before them? Why mention it like that? One, they're the senior, right? Because they're the senior most of all the devatas. But two, if we think of Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, if we're talking in the case of Varna, where would we place them?
Brahmanas.
And where would we place the demigods? And who's supposed to walk in front of Brahmanas? I mean, Kshatriyas, to lead the Kshatriyas. Brahmanas. Therefore, then, the demigods left following behind Brahma and Shiva. Right? Like that. So that universal etiquette is always performed. That, you have a question? Or?
Is Lord Brahma a Brahmana or a
Kshatriya? Is Lord Brahma a Brahmana or a Kshatriya? Would the name give any indication?
Because you just said
that Brahma is born from Brahma, and therefore with the elements of Brahman, then he makes the secondary creation, which is none other than Brahma.
So are there any other demigods that are... Brahmins?
Yeah, some.
Oh, yeah, like
means like most of Brahma's sons are all. Svayambhuva Manu, he's taken as a Kshatriya, but basically I know of all the others are Brahmins or Paramahamsas, like so Narad, the four Kumaras, and like that, they're beyond.
And Vyaspati and Shukacharya.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Like that. So you know, find so many of them. So that's why it says the demigods, the great saints and sages, so they're the Brahmins. Srila Prabhupada comments. The word Kukshi Gata, meaning within the womb of Devaki, has been discussed by Sri Jiva Goswami in his Krama Sandarbha commentary. Since it was said at first that Krishna was present within the heart of Vasudeva and was transferred to the heart of Devaki, Sri Jiva Goswami writes, how is it that Krishna was now in the womb? He replies that there is no contradiction. From the heart, the Lord can go to the womb, or from the womb, he can go to the heart. Indeed, he can go or stay anywhere. as confirmed in the Brahma Samhita 5.35. Pandantarasta paramanu chayantarastam govindamari purusham tamahang bhajami. The Lord can stay wherever he likes. Devaki, therefore, in accordance with the desire of her former life, now had the opportunity to seek the benediction of having the Supreme Personality of as her son, Devaki Nandana. So in other words, it's not, the point is he's there, because is also there was the discussion before, is within the womb means within the heart, because that's where Krishna's that is where their coming in contact and Krishna having that connection with them as parental is coming from. Is there that meditation, is they are the parents of Krishna. That comes from within the heart. That's the consciousness of the living entity. So then you can say is he is therefore transferred from there, he's born from there. Does that make sense? So that's the actual principle. It doesn't matter. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. At the same time, as if it's a matter of, okay, well, what does she look like? Then traditionally, if the, there is a greater volume of, size, you know, in the area around the womb, people will consider that normal, right? If it happened within the heart and got bigger there, then they might think, you know, did she go down to Brazil for some special, cosmetic surgery? You know, no one's going to be thinking she's pregnant. Okay? So, therefore, we make some, you know, that's just how it works. That's how Krishna likes it to function. But human pastimes, but but the point is he can be wherever he likes. So if he is in the womb, fine, but if he's not, it doesn't matter. So that's the point. That's not the importance. Okay. Conclusion. Pratigya. The merciful Acharyas and the merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead together help the serious devotee who wants to return home back to Godhead. Right? So that's the point, is that you follow in the footsteps of the previous Acharyas, as given by one's Acharya, that pursuance, then getting their mercy, that gets the mercy of the Supreme Lord, therefore one is able to come to the transcendental position. One is able to always remember Krishna, never forget, and therefore qualify yourself. Hetu. Because one can achieve the seat of Bhakti Lata, devotional service by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. The duty of Guru is to find the means according to the time, the circumstances, and the candidate by which one can be induced to render devotional service, which Krishna accepts from a candidate who wants to be successful in going back home, back to Godhead. So the Guru finds the method that'll work. Krishna accepting that service, then he being pleased, one gets that mercy. So in other words, there's the mercy that one is able to take part, finding a way to take part, and then there's Krishna's mercy of him accepting. Okay. Udaharana. Rupa Goswami, for example, in order to help subsequent devotees, published such devotional books as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 31 purport. Upanaya. This is the duty of the Acharya, to publish books that will help future candidates take up the method of service and become eligible to return home back to Godhead by the mercy of the Lord. Krishna will accept a devotee who strictly follows the regulative principles and the method prescribed in the various books and literatures, right? So, because it says, by finding the method, what is that method? That method is then documented. That documentation is the books. That's what's distributed. So it means the books themselves go out and are put into various people's hands so they have them, and distributing the knowledge that's within them by actually training people in what's in the books. Okay. The Acharya gives the suitable method for crossing the ocean of nescience by accepting the boat of the Lord's lotus feet. And if this method is strictly followed, the followers will ultimately reach the destination by the grace of the Lord. This method is called Acharya Sampradaya. It is therefore said, Sampradaya vihina ye mantras te nishfala mata. Padma Purana. The Acharya Sampradaya is strictly bona fide. Therefore, one must accept the Acharya Sampradaya. Otherwise, one's endeavors will be futile. We don't accept it, say, oh, but, you know, what about time, place, and circumstance, all that? That already the Acharya has worked out. The Acharya, being transcendental, he makes no mistakes. Therefore, what he gives will work. We make mistakes, right? We'll say, oh, you can't do all this Harinam. People don't like that. They won't do it. Then in a country that hasn't been preaching before, someone goes there, does Harinam, it's great. New devotees, temples, everything's happening, book distribution, and all that. But others will say, you can't do that. But it's going on. Why? Because the Acharya is perfect. And we're not using it. We're not getting the effect. Why? Because we're not perfect. So that's the meaning of Acharya Sampradaya. We follow in the footsteps of the Acharyas. We do what they gave us. Right? Nigamana. One must worship the lotus feet of the Acharya and live within the society of devotees. Then one's endeavor to cross over Neshas will surely be successful. Right? So that's the method.
When you put in Upanaya, can we also put in Udaharan because there's kind of an example as well?
Yes, you could. And then from it is therefore said, Sampradaya Vihina, that we could say is the Upanaya. And everything before it is means that's the point that's being made. It's not that when you're making these within the Udaharana that you're not going to use all five. You're saying, okay, Rupa Goswami, for example, okay, he published books. Now, why books are important. So this is the duty of that. So that's the reason. And then why? That will help the future. So the punching in the eye always, it's that's the formula how it works. So overall, then in the chapter, overall that's happening. But in each purport, then those are happening within parts of the purport that's happening. So it's like Sambandhabhidaya and Prayojana. All those three are always going on. So even if you take one part of it, that can be divided into those three. So yes, it'd be important verses. Okay. O lotus-eyed Lord, by concentrating one's meditation on your lotus feet, we do it. We've already discussed this. Have we been going through these again or not?
Sometimes.
Okay. So we see. Okay. By concentrating one's meditation on your lotus feet, which are the reservoirs of all existence, and by accepting those lotus feet as the boat by which to cross the ocean of nescience, one follows in the footsteps of the Mahajanas, great saints, sages, and devotees. By this simple process, one can cross the ocean of nescience as easily as one steps over the hoofprint of a calf. Some may say that aside from devotees, those who always seek at the Lord's lotus feet, shelter at the Lord's lotus feet, there are also those who are not devotees, but who have accepted different processes for attaining salvation. What happens to them? In answer to this question, Lord Brahman, the other demigod, said, O lotus-eyed Lord, although non-devotees who accept severe austerities and penances to achieve the highest position may think themselves liberated, their intelligence is impure. They fall down for the position of imagined superiority because they have no regard for your lotus feet. O Lord, your transcendental name and form are not ascertained by those who can merely speculate on the path of imagination. Your name, form, and attributes can be ascertained only through devotional service. So, following, like the first said, following in the footsteps of the great personalities, the simple process they give of hearing, chanting, and remembering, doing that with devotion, that then will bring us to the perfectional platform of developing love for Krishna. That's then what is being established here by the prayers. Right? So we can see it's a very nice, all the different things. Generally, this will be taken as kind of one of those more slow chapters because of all the prayers. But you can see this is what it's actually established. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Jainatai Govardhana ki.